Welcome, Weirdos! I'm Darren Marlar, and this is your Weird Darkness, Weird Dark News. Residents of the city of Santa Cruz, Bolivia, talked about their encounter with a mysterious cryptid which, according to them, walked the streets of the city, according to Radio Miter. Local residents gave an unusual description of the creature, something worthy of the attention of ufologists. Just before the appearance of the being, thunder was heard in the sky, then the inhabitants saw a bright halo of light and three bright objects. There was a crash like thunder, recalled Bolivian UFO researcher Javier Aliaga, who indicated that the object appeared to be throwing fire. Things took an even weirder turn when those on the scene saw some kind of entity exit the craft. After that, the eyes of eyewitnesses saw the creature itself was about 1 foot in height, with three fingers on each hand and three expressive eyes, but many decided that this interstellar interloper, judging by its behavior, was blind. Perhaps the daylight was too bright for this cryptid. The townspeople are sure the alien creature is the legendary chupacabra, which is very often met by local residents and from which farmers often suffer losses. Eyewitnesses say that the chupacabra walked the streets of Santa Cruz and then eventually vanished into the night, and the craft that appeared to deliver it to Earth also disappeared. Some researchers believe that cryptids like chupacabra or Bigfoot appear in our world from parallel dimensions and then return there. This case only adds to the mystery regarding the appearance of the chupacabra. Perhaps this creature arrived with representatives of alien civilizations who sent the cryptid to Earth in the same way that people release their pets to walk in the fresh air or hunt local animals. In general, researchers of the paranormal have even more mysteries. The Pentagon is reportedly gearing up to disclose a flood of still classified information on several reports involving unidentified aerial phenomena that Navy pilots had encountered dating back to at least 2004. The release is expected to happen this year. Congress even formed an entire task force to investigate whether the strange events represent an actual threat. The U.S. is seen to finally start to take UFOs seriously. With this shift, experts are beginning to grapple with some significant questions. Economist Tyler Cohen recently made an opinion piece for Bloomberg on the possible effects of alien discovery on global markets. Cohen predicted that most market prices wouldn't move very much if aliens are really among us. He said the markets might become a little volatile with aliens strolling around. Provided that little green men have no actual threat to our personal wealth and investments, the market number would not budge much, according to Cohen. He pointed out an extreme scenario where 1 million aliens are living under the ocean. He said that case would not affect the Wall Street expectations for the number of iPhones sold next year. He instead expects the increased demand for fly-by camera options. Cohen believes that aliens are probably happy with our existence because, if not, they'd probably have a leg up and zap us into oblivion, wherein neither Bitcoin nor gold will do us any good. According to the writer, it's likely that an alien presence would represent a boon to sci-fi and tourism industries. However, we'll have to wait for now and see how having extraterrestrials mingling with humanity will stack the numbers. A 22-year-old American has become famous online for allowing her 8-month-old son, Fern, to eat dirt, sand, and stones, according to Daily Mail. Alice Bender from Phoenix, Arizona, claims her breast milk will protect Fern from any germs. The woman's raising her son as a vegan and believes that there's nothing unnatural in the fact that babies begin to eat sand and stones. "I'm not afraid of bacteria, quite the contrary," she said. "I trust nature and my son. It cannot be an accident that babies chew everything while breastfeeding. It's a natural instinct." In addition to rocks, sand, and dirt, the woman allows Fern to gnaw on other items and even lick the carts in the supermarket. There was an active discussion on Bender's TikTok page. Some users supported her and said that the child would develop a strong immune system. At the same time, others were horrified by what they saw and asked if the progressive mother was afraid that Fern would pick up parasites or simply choke. "I am afraid for the future of our country," said one commentator. "Me personally, I'm afraid for the future of Fern. Because, well, his mom named him Fern. Who does that? Oh yeah, that's going to go really well on the elementary school playground." A new genetic study suggests a lineage of Egyptian pharaohs were subjected to willful genetic manipulation by a technologically advanced civilization. Some would call this definitive proof that the builders of the pyramids had a strong connection with beings that originated elsewhere in the universe. Stuart Fleischmann, assistant professor of comparative genomics at the Swiss University in Cairo, and his team have recently published the results of a 7-year study that mapped the genomes of 9 ancient Egyptian pharaohs. If proven correct, their findings could potentially change the world's history books. Fleischmann and his team subjected the precious samples of ancient DNA to a process called polymerase chain reaction, or PCR. In the field of molecular biology, this technique is often used to replicate and amplify a single copy of a piece of DNA, giving researchers a clear picture of someone's genetic fingerprint. 8 of the 9 samples returned interesting but typical results. The 9th sample belonged to Akhenaten, the enigmatic 14th century BC pharaoh and father of Tutankhamun. A small fragment of desiccated brain tissue had been the source of the DNA sample, and the test was repeated using bone tissue, but the same results were obtained. One of the culprits was a gene called CXPAC-5, which is responsible for cortex growth. It appeared this increased activity in Akhenaten's genome would suggest he had a higher cranial capacity because of the need to house a larger cortex. But what mutation would have caused a human brain to grow like this? We have yet to discover such a technique despite years of breakthroughs in genetics. Could this 3,300-year-old evidence point out ancient genetic manipulation? Was it the work of advanced extraterrestrial beings? Is the mythology of ancient Egypt more than a collection of allegoric tales? Professor Fleischmann explains, "Telomerase, a genetic enzyme, is only expended by 2 processes, extreme aging and extreme mutation. Genetic and archaeological data suggests Amenhotep IV, also known as Akhenaten, lived to about 45 years of age. That's not nearly enough to consume all the chromosomal telomerase, leaving behind one inconvenient but possible explanation. This hypothesis is also backed up by the fact that electron microscope analysis revealed signs of nucleotidic cicatrix, which is a telltale sign of the DNA helix healing after being exposed to strong mutagens. Does this suggest that Akhenaten, one of ancient Egypt's most mysterious pharaohs, was subjected to genetic modification during his life? If anything, this allegation supports the theory that ancient aliens once visited the civilization that lived along the banks of the Nile. The most important aspect would be the existence of individuals direct descendants of ancient Egypt's royal lineage that still possess the alien genes implanted in their ancestors' genomes." A woman in Indonesia was sadly swallowed whole by a python as she checked on her cornfields last week. The woman lived on Muna Island off the coast of Sulawesi, according to Strangesounds.org. She left her home Thursday night to visit her cornfield about a half mile from her home. Reticulated pythons are common in the area, but it was actually wild boars that the farmer had been worried about initially because they'd been destroying her crops. When Watiba didn't return home, her sister went out to find her and found her footprints, flashlight, slippers, and machete. On Friday, 100 villagers from Persiap and Lawala searched the area and found a 23-foot-long snake with a very swollen belly. The villagers killed the snake, cut it open, and found Wa inside, intact. When they cut open the snake's belly, they found Tiba's body still intact with all her clothes, Ferris said. She was swallowed first from her head. She probably did not die inside the snake, though. A reticulated python secures its prey with a bite, then wraps its body around the victim, squeezing down until the victim cannot breathe before consuming. Pythons are the largest snakes in the world and usually only eat smaller mammals. Most members of this family are ambush predators, in that they typically remain motionless in a camouflaged position and then strike suddenly at passing prey. Attacks on humans, although known to occur, are extremely rare. Can you imagine being advised that you are about to collide with a UFO? A team of astronauts made up of Akiko Hoshide, Thomas Bisquet, Shane Kimbrough, and Megan MacArthur was told that they were about to collide with an unidentified flying object. According to reports from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, a SpaceX rocket came close to colliding with an unknown object. NASA decided to warn the crew because there would be insufficient time to execute an evasion maneuver, as the U.S. Space Agency explained. As a precautionary measure, the team donned their pressurized suits. Fortunately, the collision did not happen, as the UFO was 45 kilometers from the spacecraft. The astronauts reached their destination at the International Space Station safe and sound on April 24th to join the Crew 2 mission. 7 people were arrested after mummified remains believed to be a suspected cult leader were found on a bed wrapped in Christmas lights at a Colorado residence last week. Waukesha County Sheriff's deputies found Amy Carlson's remains in a sleeping bag wrapped in Christmas lights inside a Moffitt home on Wednesday, April 28, 2021, according to the Denver Post. Followers of the Love Has Won religious group were staying in the house, according to investigators. Ms. Carlson's believed to be the leader of Love Has Won and goes by the name Mother God, according to the arrest affidavit. Amy Carlson also went by Leah, according to multiple reports and the sheriff's office. The woman's identity was not officially confirmed, according to the Waukesha County coroner. The coroner said that she'd been dead for a while, saying, "must be a couple of weeks or more," according to the Denver Post. The investigation was ongoing. Waukesha County sheriff's deputies were responding to a report of a dead woman at the residence and a concern of child abuse. The resident of the house, Miguel Lamboy, went to the Salida Police Department on April 28th to report a death at the location at 4 Alkito Court in Moffitt, the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office said. Moffitt's located about 180 miles southwest of Denver. Lamboy told investigators he returned to his house the day before on April 27th to find 5 people at his house needing a place to stay. Lamboy invited them as Jason Castillo, John Robertson, Crystal Raymond, Karen Raymond, and Ryan Kramer. The next day, Lamboy told investigators he drove to Denver and to Buena Vista, then returned to the house and found the dead woman, known to him as Leah Carlson. He said it was obvious she was dead because her eyes were missing. Mr. Lamboy stated that the body appeared to be mummified, with Ms. Carlson's teeth exposed through the lips. Mr. Lamboy stated that Ms. Carlson was wrapped in a cloth. The body was lying on a bed wrapped in a sleeping bag in a back bedroom. The remains have what appears to be glitter-type makeup around the eyes, and the remains were decorated with Christmas lights, according to the affidavit, in a type of shrine. Lamboy is believed to be a part of the Love Has Won religious group. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office has received many complaints from families within the United States saying that the group is brainwashing people and stealing their money. A search warrant was served on the property at 11:50 p.m. April 28th. The warrant was issued to search for the body as well as to check on the welfare of Lamboy's son. Ryan Kramer, 30, Christopher Royer, 35, Sarah Rudolph, 35, Karen Raymond, 47, Jason Castillo, 45, John Robertson, 32, and Abdulia Franco, 52, were found inside the house. All 7 were taken into custody and transported to the Rio Grande County Jail. They were charged with abuse of a corpse and 2 counts each of child abuse. Investigators also found Karen Raymond's 13-year-old daughter in the house and Miguel Lamboy's 2-year-old son. Both were found sleeping and were in good health. KDVR-TV reports Lamboy tried to leave with his son when he saw the woman's body, but the visitors would not let him take the child. That is when he went to police. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office then took over the investigation. Lamboy told deputies he believed the suspects transported the body from California in a Nissan Rogue belonging to Abdulio Franco. Waukesha County Sheriff Dan Warwick was familiar with Carlson from previous encounters and confirmed that Amy Carlson went by the name Leah Carlson. People whose family members have been involved in Love Has Won say Carlson led a cult and was abusive to her followers. "There is nothing we can do to stop UFOs," warns former Pentagon investigator Luis Elizondo. UFOs are flying over the United States. The military does not know what it is and who is behind them, and we cannot stop them, according to Elizondo. Luis Elizondo, head of the Secret Aerospace Threat Identification Program, ATIP, told the U.S. Sun that the bizarre UFO provocations reported by the U.S. military in a number of videos are real, and the question is now simply, what is it? While he's unable to discuss much of his work as it remains classified, he said he saw very compelling evidence that convinced him of the existence of these UFOs threatening the United States. "I'm not a UFO expert," he said. "I'm an investigator. My task was simple, to collect data and tell the truth." "There's something in our sky. We do not know what it is," he continued. "We do not know how it works. We do not fully know what it can do. And we do not know who controls them. We do not know its intentions, and we can't do a damn thing about it." "If it turns out the unknown enemy is ahead of us technologically, then we'll have to deal with a failure of intelligence at the level of September 11th. When I worked at ATIF, our goal was to try to find common explanations for these phenomena, but such explanations simply do not exist. He remains hopeful that public support and bipartisan action by lawmakers will help open up the topic and start discussing UFOs openly, admitting that it is a fact. Not wanting to go into details, when asked whether Russia and China are studying UFOs, he said, "We have every reason to believe that foreign hostile countries are equally, if not more, interested in studying UFOs, no less than us. This has been confirmed from various sources. We are confident about it." With the UFO-UAP deadline approaching, Mr. Elizondo urged people to manage their expectations about what might be released. While some of the information is likely to remain classified to protect methods and sources, he added that while some government agencies continue to try to suppress information about UFOs, he believes that the genie is already out of the bottle to ensure wider disclosure. They exist. The question is what they are and what we're going to do about them. Mitch Kuhn was driving back to the Gold Coast along the Hume Highway near Bardia, Sydney, just before 8 p.m. on Sunday when he claims to have spotted a small child standing on the road, according to UFO sightings shotspot.blogspot.com. Mr. Kuhn reported and claimed that he was later told by an officer that the child had been found, but police have since said that while a search was conducted, no child was discovered in the area. When we took a closer look at the ghost child, then the shape of the figure resembles that of the so-called nightcrawlers. These peculiar creatures drift eerily through the night, leaving many wondering if their origins are earthly or extraterrestrial. According to Native American folklore, these creatures stand upright, they're thin, with no arms, have existed for hundreds of years, and have lived alongside humans peacefully. Despite there being little evidence to prove that these so-called nightcrawlers are real undiscovered cryptids, in 2011 there were multiple CCT camera sightings of strange, upright, standing, thin creatures with no arms walking endlessly at night. The first appearance of a nightcrawler took place in Fresno, California, and the second appearance took place in Yosemite National Park. Speaking of strange things lurking around at night, footage of a mysterious creature said to be the legendary cryptid Lamona, or a ghoul, was posted on Reddit. The footage was captured on home security cameras in Costa Rica and was shared on Reddit by user FitThenFat in a thread titled Human Encounters, where members discussed if the figure was a ghoul, Lamona, or something more mundane. Lamona is based on the legend of a witch-like woman with a horrific appearance who, according to myth, stalks people at night. She is said to strike terror into anyone who looks at her and inflicts scratches and cast spells. A creepy video shows a being with weird, bent legs running around on all fours while several dogs desperately bark at it. As the strange thing gets closer to the camera, a second dog begins barking urgently in the backyard. The opinions of people on this matter were divided. Some thought it was a creature, unknown to science, others thought it was just a mutated dog. Others, like myself, think it's just a person on all fours being stupid. And finally, true love knows no bounds. Just ask this woman, who went on live television to declare her intention to marry a 93-year-old chandelier. Amanda Liberty was invited to Channel 4's daytime show Steph's Packed Lunch for an episode on love and relationships. The woman from Leeds opened up about having objectophilia, the feeling of love and romantic commitment to inanimate objects. For some, including Amanda, the idea of sexual or close emotional relationships with humans is simply not on the radar. Speaking to host Steph McGovern, she said, "I don't view them as inanimate objects as most people do. You know the term animism. It's more common in Japan. It's when people sense an energy from an object. It's not just a sitting object. It has an energy you can get to know. That's how I feel. It's never a moment that I'm in love. It was never a light bulb moment. It was more like something that happened over time." Amanda explained how she first fell in love with a drum kit and is now planning to get married to a German chandelier named Luminaire. When asked about her discovery of having feelings for objects, Amanda replied, "I didn't understand it for a long time, to be honest, but I always accepted myself even though I didn't understand it. Even now, it's hard to explain because I don't know why I fall in love with objects. I can't explain it. But I've accepted myself for who I am, and this is why I came here, because I want everybody else to just accept and be happy, because it makes me feel happy and content." While acknowledging that objectophilia is a difficult concept for most people to understand, Amanda compared it to the way some people see or feel energy in crystals. She went on to explain her connection with Luminaire. "I feel loved by them, the chandeliers, Just an amazing connection. I can't explain. I think they're beautiful. After seeing the nearly 100-year-old chandelier, Amanda said that she couldn't get it out of her mind for 2 weeks, and she eventually had the item shipped over from Germany. Now she's hoping to tie the knot with the fixture, adding, "When I say marriage, I don't mean compare it to a marriage of another human. It's more of a commitment, just an expression of my love and a celebration." Despite the fact that some of Amanda's friends and families can't quite understand her connection to objects, ultimately they're happy that she's happy and feels in a good place mentally. "I think that's what's important in life, to be happy and to feel loved," she said. "And that's fine, I want Amanda to be happy as well, but these two couldn't possibly have anything in common. I mean, she's in her 40s and the chandelier's 93 years old. What are they going to talk about?" Thanks for listening. For more Weird Dark news and other stories of the strange and paranormal, visit us online at WeirdDarkness.com. I'm Darren Marlar.